Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be in verses 18 and 20. It's just good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. It's good to see people who've traveled back, who've moved away and gotten different jobs, and just good to see everybody in the summertime. Amen. Lord have mercy. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Read. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Lord, ask for your power, your grace, your words, your guidance, your influence, your spirit to take over me. Ask for you to reduce me and increase you in your Holy Spirit. Hide me, Lord. Hide me of distractions. Hide me of nervousness. But Lord, just bring a word through me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you take your seats, I want to speak to you from the subject. Stand down for what? Stand down for what? See, I knew 11 o'clock, so y'all the hip-hop generation. 8 o'clock, they know what I was saying. But y'all, 11 o'clock, y'all know what I'm saying. Stand down, amen. I ain't say turn down, I said stand down. For what? This sermon, I believe, comes from a place of me trying to balance between boldness and insanity with this trip I'm going on. I'm going to be in Africa pretty much most of July, leaving this week to go to Africa on a mission trip with World Vision to get, the mission for them is to get water to everyone around the world. And you know, they say we're going to do this marathon. That's why I've been running and swimming and all these different things, trying to get in shape. You know what I'm saying? I should have went to Brother Touche. I should have went to your class. My father didn't mean to say your nickname. Brother Claiborne's karate class. I really need it now because I asked them a question, right? I said, "Why can't we have our headphones?" And they said, "You can't have your headphone because you're going to be running through a live game ranch. And then it's called, hold on. And you don't want to be distracted." Hey, it ain't even about the headphones no more. Right? It's about y'all telling me I'm running with Mufasa. I mean, I know my African brothers and sisters, you know, we took care of a church. We take care of a church in Africa, and we helped them build a church because they said a lion had attacked the kid. They killed the lion and went back to church, started having church again. I feel it. You know, I'm black, but I'm not really African. And I had to tell my our counterparts, you know, the difference between y'all and us is we believe stuff can kill us. You understand? And I don't think I can outrun a lion if I ain't tired. And you want me to run 13 miles? Anyway, but the thing about it is definitely pray for me because really I'm praying for guidance to see if I'm actually going to run or if I'm just going to sit in a little car and give people water. Because I'm like, the 13 miles didn't scare me, but lions and tigers and bears, oh my, hey, amen. I'm just saying. God said he gave us a spirit of power, but he also gave us what? A sound mind. Hey, y'all knew that, did y'all? Wait a minute. Anyway, but seriously though, in the midst of this, have you ever had to stand up for something you believe in? When we stand, it's normally because there is some sort of opposition facing us. So we must muster up the courage and take action to stand against that opposition. Our world is polluted with so many images that aren't Christ-like, and we have to daily take a stand for purity and holiness. We can't let garbage into our minds and heart. We have to take a stand against anything that would hinder our relationship with God. See, we all have weaknesses and temptations, and we also face moments in our faith where we have to take a stand against things that try to hinder where God desires us to be. The only way we can live a God-honoring life is by taking a stand. In Acts chapter 4, we see some men who take a stand in their faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John standing up for Christ through God's power. They healed a man. And the Sadducees, or the religious folk, didn't like this or the message they were preaching. So they arrested Peter and John and put them on trial. But during the trial, the court realized they had no legal right to keep them. Before they let Peter and John go, though, they threatened them. Let's look at the threat and Peter's and John's response. In Acts 4, 18 and 20 through 20, again, it says, "And they called them again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" See, the religious men told Peter and John to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They told them to bow down and denounce their faith in Christ. They told them to stop living out the very purpose of their being. And in this moment, after just being arrested, Peter and John stood up for Christ. Even though they were facing threats, they took a stand and told the leaders they would keep on preaching and teaching Christ. In life, we may face people or things that try to get us to stop living for Christ. That this could be caused by a temptation from the evil one, a relationship, a family member, a job, a friend, or even a tragic and unexpected event. This is why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Paul wouldn't use this verbiage if we weren't going to face opposition, people, places, and things that would try to get us to back down instead of stand up. Peter and John faced major opposition. They were arrested, put in prison, and threatened, but they continued to stand for Christ. So let's look at what happened with them in Acts chapter 4 and learn how we can stand for Christ no matter what comes our way. Today I'm going to give you three truths. Not saying these are all the truths, but I'm going to give you three of them that will help you stand firm in your faith. Number one, Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John take a stand for Christ in the face of people who wanted to throw them in prison and even destroy their lives. One key reason Peter and John were able to stand firm in their faith is because Jesus was their foundation. Their lives were built on the solid rock of Christ. Look at Acts 4, 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Peter believed that Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus was his everything. Jesus was his foundation. They were walking and talking in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew that salvation was found in no one else. Their lives were all about Jesus. He was their foundation. When Jesus is our cornerstone, no matter what we face in life, have a firm foundation to stand. We can stand on him for him, and we can walk in his strength, talk in his strength, and live in his strength. Everything we do and everything is all about him. We all face trouble and opposition, but we can take a stand when we make Jesus our foundation. See, Jesus is a cornerstone, and foundation that will never crack or grow weary. He's a cornerstone that makes a solid foundation to stand for 7 days out of the week. When the storms of life come, he's the foundation. Oh, yeah. Y'all don't hear me. See, I found out that the foundation, that there is no foundation on the porch, on the back porch of the house. And the thing about it, they sit on 2x4s. And they said if it ever snows real hard, and it will fall down because there's no foundation. Some of us have put our foundation on our face. Come on, somebody. Some of us have put our foundation on our mom and them. Some of us have made our foundation on our job and our career. Some of us have made our foundation on our fraternities or sororities. Some of us have made our foundation on our political connections. Some of us have made our foundation on some things that are slip every now and then. But if you just root yourself in Jesus, he will never forsake you. Come on, somebody. Have you ever tried to call somebody and you know they got your back, but you couldn't get in touch with them because you just couldn't get in touch with them by phone? But let me tell you something. Jesus lives with inside of you. See, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because Jesus lives in me. I don't have to make a phone call. I can just tell Jesus what's going on. He lives in me, and he said, he who began a good work in me shall finish it. So I don't have to depend on anybody. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, some of you all keep looking for people to support you. Every time I try to do something in the city, other people will come out and hate. But you know why? It don't bother me, because I don't need help from individuals. Although God sends me help, I go to God first. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Don't worry about trying to tell everybody what your dreams and aspirations is. Stop trying to get people to support you all the time. As long as Jesus is with you, he'll begin to send you people that'll help you. He must be your foundation. And once you root yourself in him, you won't matter if heaven or hell or demons or angels, you won't care who comes against you, because you already understand that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Even when you mess up, God is with you. Can I tell you for a minute? When people lie on you, God is with you. In fact, when people tell the truth on you, God is still with you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? God loves you so much, and if you make the foundation on him, he already know you fall short. He already know you messed up. He already know. He never would have walked down 40 and two burning generations and rolled himself in the flesh, walked down the way of Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. He never would have done all of that if you could have done it on yourself. If you could have made it on your own, he never would have did it for you. Stop letting people tell you and make you feel bad, and you call yourself a Christian. Yeah, I do. I know I mess up just like you. The only difference is I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And even when I mess up, oh, it's something about 11 o'clock, because I was so calm at 8 o'clock. Oh, this is my club crowd in here. You might have been out all last night, but at least you made it to church this morning. Oh yeah, the jazz festival. Look, Deacon ready to leave already. Don't leave me. I'm going to try to get out of here. Yeah. So we say, he ready to hear Frankie Beverly. I need to hurry up. Number two. What? Number two. We have to obey God in the midst of opposition. I mean, I was so studious at 8 o'clock. I don't know what it is about you guys in this service that just make me act downright ignorant. It's your fault. Facing opposition isn't a matter of if, but when. Which means we will have many opportunities to obey or disobey. God hasn't called us to just believe. Our faith must be a vibrant, active faith and live out. Peter and John had a vibrant, active faith. Look at Acts chapter 4, 18 through 20 again. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. See, this came down to whether Peter and John would stand and obey God or bow down and give in to their fears, logic, and doubt. See, it's easy to fall into a trap where we know a lot but do little with what we know, especially when we face opposition. Oh, yeah. See, Peter and John not only listened to God, but they also obeyed and did what God told them at the risk of their own lives. To stand in our faith, we have to do what James tells us. He says we can't just be hearers of the word, but we must be doers of the word also, regardless of opposition. See, we must put our feet, our faith, and keep walking, our feet to our faith, and keep walking even through the valley of the shadow of death. We must keep walking through the rough terrain of the mountains of life, and we must keep walking when the storms of life come against us. I found that one of the main challenges to obeying God is in the midst of opposition, is that when we begin to wonder about the outcome. Hold on. Will God help me? Will God come through in the way we hope he will? Will we have to suffer for standing firm? See, we know that if God doesn't show up the way we want him to, this could get real ugly real quick. Oftentimes we have to battle our flesh and common sense and stand firm. For Peter and John, common sense would have been to keep a little quieter and about Jesus so they wouldn't be thrown into prison, beaten, or even worse, or killed. Our flesh tells us to back up and back down. Our flesh says, just go with the crowd, be popular, don't ruffle anyone's feathers. Come on, somebody. But you got to understand, trusting God, you got to do it even when it don't make sense. Truth be told, you can't use your common sense all the time. And can I tell you a secret? Some of us who think we got common sense don't know how. Come on, somebody. So stop trying to lean on your own understanding. Stop trying to do what everybody else think you should do. It didn't make common sense for me to come up here and take a job that would pay me $30,000 less than what I made at home. But the kingdom says when God calls you, don't use your common sense. Come on, somebody. Common sense would tell you, don't walk around the building and claim all three buildings when they only want to sell you two. They done told you no three times. Why in the world are you out here in the rain walking around this building and claiming it? Why? Because I can't lean on my common sense. I got to do what God tells me to do, even if it don't make no sense to me. Why? Because my God is the author and finisher of my faith. He who began a good work in me shall finish it. I ain't gotta finish it. He gotta finish it. Woo! It's his job. It amazes me. I was talking to one of my people in the back. He was like, man, the things y'all doing. And it finally hit me. This is great. People said, how that little church back in the woods gonna come over here? Why? Because we don't use common sense. We didn't care that people said we didn't qualify for the loan. We didn't care about how many members we didn't have. We didn't care about how much money we needed in the bank. We said, we gonna lean on God and we ain't gonna lean on our own understanding. Yeah. I wish I would have had this word in the midst of the storm when I kept getting the hate mail. I would have told him, Reverend Harry, you telling me to stand down for what? You got to tell the devil, stand down for what? Can't nothing tear me down. Stand down for what? Jesus on my side. Yeah. When fear raise up in you and the devil try to tell you you can't start your own business, you say, stand down for what? I got Jesus. Oh, y'all better hear me when I tell you, when the doctor tells you you can't be healed, you just tell him, stand down for what? Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he said he will not withhold any good and perfect gift from me. 11 o'clock don't make me a hood preacher up in here. I'm messing around with y'all. Sister Camp, you got to come at 8 o'clock. I'm a little more dignified. I'm a little more together. I'm a little more poised at that time. You know, you might scare them the first time. First time visitor, if you're here, come at 8 o'clock, and I promise you I'm a little more dignified. Yeah. In fact, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your what? Own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Peter and John trusted in God with all their hearts. and they didn't lean on their own understanding. They are all in for Jesus, no matter the cost. Living for Christ isn't always easy. We will face opposition, but we must obey God in the midst of opposition and stand firm because he is worthy. Because he died for us, at least we can live for him. If he died for you, live for him. Don't be scared of what's going on. Leave me alone, God. That's what God is telling me. Don't be scared of the lion, tigers, and bears. But I don't really want to run. See, can I talk to you for a minute? Maybe God got me going out here to run with lion, tigers, and bears to take me to another level in my faith over here. Because if I run with a lion and a tiger, you better not mess with me, baby. Because you know what David said? David went up to Goliath and he told King Saul, when a lion and bear came up on my sheep, I killed him with my bare hand. And I'm going to do this uncircumcised Philistine the same way. Sometimes God will train you in areas in your life and put you through some hell. Some of y'all in your cubicle, I know they got to play, I'm gonna plug it for you. Some of y'all got to play the cubicle, but some of y'all shouldn't even worry about what's going on in the cubicle, because God has done what? God had me outside where a dope dealer said I was gonna kill you, but since you take care of my son, I'm not, because I know you the one called the police on me. You think a letter bothered me if somebody done threatened me with a gun in their hand and told me that the only reason they not killing me is because what I'm doing for the kingdom? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Do you hear what I'm saying? When God is your foundation. It just clicked to me. He said, I didn't shoot you because you take care of my son and you play basketball and you take him to do that. But it just clicked to me. That was kingdom work. Because my foundation was in Jesus, even though he wanted to kill me and live three doors down because I had moved out of my neighborhood because God told me to move in the hood and take care of this place. See, some of y'all don't understand who you're coming against because I already have dealt with opposition. Some of you all think because your hair is gray and other things, come on, mine gray too, just for men, help me out just a little bit. But come on. Jesus, I'm crunk today. I don't know what's going on with me, but there's a shift in this house, and I'm going to tell you that there's a joyful spirit that's about to run in this house, that God is about to throw some blessings down in here, and you need to understand that your opposition is just making you stronger. Man, I was on the phone the other day, right? I was on the phone the other day, and I ran like 5.5 miles in 30 minutes. But I was fussing about this business stuff, so my mind wasn't even thinking. Do you know, as your mind thinking, so are you. And see, your mind limits you. You got to tell your mind what you're going to do. You can't let your mind tell you what you're going to do. You got to take authority and take in captivity those thoughts. And so I did it, but the treadmill was set for 30 minutes, so it went off, and I didn't have a time to take a picture, so I posted, oh, I did this, and my haters started inboxing me. You ain't do that. That's why you ain't take no picture. You ain't. Okay. Stand down for what? Hurt ankle, then hurt my ankle playing basketball with Jordan Waters. I'm gonna shout out him all the time. Playing basketball, all at Fort Eustis. And ankle still hurting. But I was like, you know what? I can do all things through Christ. See, they don't understand. I talk junk, but I be talking about Jesus. And so, y'all hear me? And so it came into a lesson. Now, something is wrong with me. I know. But Jesus makes it right, okay? And I know I got problems. I know I got issues. I know some of you are like, how in the world did God call me? I wonder the same thing. I sit in the mirrors hours on end. How in the world did he do this? But anyway, so I was like, you're going to tell me what I can't do? So when opposition comes against me, it just kicks into my competitive nature. But then I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So then I got on the treadmill and ran 5 miles in 20. Actually, I put 28 minutes on the connect with the picture I took, but I was actually taking screenshots and taking my split. So I was slowing down. 27 minutes, 5 miles. Now, would I have done that without a hater? Probably not. Why? Because I wouldn't have been as motivated. I don't care. I ain't going to the Olympics right now. I ain't trying to be Jesse Owens. I ain't trying to be all these. I ain't trying to be all the other people's name. Whoever run, think of their name. I ain't trying to do all that. I'm just trying to do this mission trip stuff, and I just don't want to come in last. I can come in next last. In fact, if I'm about to lose and I'm the last one, y'all, if I'm on the news, it's probably true. Pastor trips up the last runner to make sure he didn't come in last. Who called me crazy? I heard you. You better leave me alone. I can't pinpoint where it came from, but I heard it. Somewhere around there. Anyway, you're probably the hater I'm talking about anyway. Number three, when we stand for Jesus, he shines through us. When we stand for Jesus, he shines through us. It's powerful to watch what happens when Peter and John stand firm in their faith. Acts 4:4 says, but many who heard the message believed, so that the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. 5,000? See, because they stood firm, many people heard the message of Christ and believed. Many people were snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light because two men stood firm in their faith in the face of opposition. When we stand, people see Jesus in us, and God will use our boldness to bring people into a relationship with him. These men stood firm in their faith, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Powerful things happen when we stand firm. When we stand firm in our faith, God will use our resolve to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. He can do way more. But the under you gotta understand, but you gotta be bold. Can I tell you something? So y'all need to know this on y'all job. Listen. When you got one hater, don't be talking about how they talking about you. Because if you got one hater, you got at least two. Because demons work together. All the time. They do that better than we do. If we could just take one lesson from demons, we should learn how to work together. But the thing about this, demons can't stand by themselves. It's always a crowd. It's always at least 2, 3, 4 of them. They can't stand by themselves. Yeah, Peter and John, it was two of them, but they were still them standing against a whole bunch of people. See, God isn't into a majority report. He's with the minority report. He wants you to be able to stand even when other people don't believe. He wants you to be able to stand even in the midst of opposition, but even when you're by yourself, because that's how he proves how much power he has. If everybody is in agreement with what you're talking about, then that ain't amazing. Oh, let me tell you something. Acts, look. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, verse 13 in chapter 4 of Acts, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Look. Some of the people that hadn't crossed the line to accept Jesus, accepted Jesus. They're like, See, did y'all hear the subtle shade in the text? When they realized they were unschooled, ignorant jokers. They ain't got no college education. Ain't got past the third grade. But God is using them mightily. God to give you a grace to do stuff that can't nobody do, and they'll wonder how in the world were you able to do it. Can you listen to me for a minute? You might not know how to do a whole bunch of things, but there's something that's a gift in you that God has given you, and you don't need any training at all, and people are amazed. They were amazed, how in the world are these two dumb jokers up here giving this theological debate and making sense? They ain't been to school, but you know what? Jesus touched them. Y'all don't hear me. See, y'all don't be believing me, and y'all think I be lying in the pulpit, but I don't. I lie to you, but not here. Meet me in the parking lot. I can tell you a couple of lies, but up here, I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm a shy person. I am. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. But under my anointed, I operate. I might not say nothing to the mayor if I see him in the crowd, if I ain't talking about, but if I need something that I need done and it got something to do with the kingdom, the boldness hits me. And some people even wonder that know me, how in the world is he a pastor? He don't even talk to people. He don't even hardly deal with people. When I first got here, y'all did a survey or whatever, something on me when y'all try to tell me what I do good and bad. I ain't really care, but I'm sorry. But y'all did it, and one of them was like, he wasn't friendly. And I was like, look, it's 700 of y'all. I just got here. I'm supposed to go say hey to everybody. Y'all come say hey to me. I'm shy. But I had to learn how to talk more and interact with people more. Why? Because that's my weakness. But at the end of the day, even in my weakness, God will give me boldness when I need to have it. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So if I'm walking around and I don't say nothing to you, I might say something if I recognize you, and then I might not say nothing if I do because I'm shy. Say hey, you got a mouth too. Don't get mad at me. Pastor didn't say nothing to me as if you ain't got no mouth. Is your mouth shut? Slow it up. Say something. But when they realized that they were unschooled, they were like, oh my God. Can I tell you something? Peter didn't like Paul, and Paul didn't like Peter. Well, at least they didn't get along. See, some of y'all don't read your Bible, but because you think it's boring. Young and the rest of us ain't got nothing on the Bible. It's some drama and death. Read Genesis and go to Sodom and Gomorrah and read what. Y'all thought Game of Thrones was crazy. No. Olivia Pope ain't got nothing on some stuff in there. I'm telling you. But stuff happened. But so Peter and Paul kind of bumped heads because, you know, two alpha males really. And Peter said, you don't even know Jesus. And Paul said, I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he said, you don't even go to school. Shut up. It's in there. He's like, Paul did not like Peter because he felt like he was uneducated. How in the world can God use him and he uneducated? And Peter was looking at him, how can you deal with Jesus and talk about Jesus and you ain't never even seen Jesus in person before? Stop letting people dictate how God uses you. Come on, somebody. You better know that God will use you in a way that he ain't used nobody else. Stop trying to be like Maxwell. Stop trying to be like Rick. Stop trying to be like anybody but yourself. Maxwell will go up here and trip and act like he want to be like Joe Osteen and just true about, oh, yesterday I'm going to have a great day. And I'm telling you, I'm just so happy you're here to see all the white people and black people together. No, that ain't me. You got to be used how God uses you and be your authentic self. And the thing about it, even though they were uneducated, God used them. And even though Paul was educated, he used them. Just be who God made you to be, and God would do mighty works in your name. In his name through you, I mean, not your name. See, they were impacted because they made sure that he was the foundation of them. When we stand firm, we're standing on the cornerstone of Jesus. It's shining brightly through our lives. Look at this. Look at this. I know I got to hurry up. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives you the power to do things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Why? Because Christ lives in me, because a part of the Trinity lives in me in the form of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they went. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So the more you read the word of God, the more you can, the Spirit is magnifying you. See, we always say that our steps are ordered of the Lord. And God will order our steps in his what? Word. But his word is the Bible, but we don't read it enough. How can he order our steps in his word if we don't read the word? And y'all be cringing me in and telling them, God will bring to my remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring to my remembrance when I need it. Not if you ain't read it. How can you remember what you ain't read? You can't remember nothing you ain't seen before. He will bring to your remembrance. He didn't say he would David Copperfield and then just make it appear. So you would already have needed to have read it first. Then when you need it, the Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. But you got to read the word so he can order your steps in his word. Ain't it funny? We'll get a little manual, the little bit of the book, and put the little chest of drawer together and put the little bookshelf together, get a little book and put the easy bake oven together, get a little book to change our fuses in our car, get a little book to put the little lamp together, and the only thing I do is put the light bulb in there, but we'll get the little book and read all these little things to put stuff together. But then when it come to our life, we're trying to put it together on our own. God gave you a manual, the word of God, to put your life together the way he meant for it to be together. If you stay in your word and Jesus is your foundation, there's nothing you can't do. You know why I don't worry? See, you know, now that I got mature and I'm tired of fussing. Whenever I would fuss at a church conference or a church meeting, I wasn't never fussing because I was worried about losing. I just want the fuss back. Now I just don't say nothing because I already know God got it. Can you hear what I'm saying? God, you gonna win. Why we keep watching Perry Mason? We know he gonna win. We know Matlock gonna win. We know the A-team gonna win. If they don't win, it's gonna be continued the next week. We know Batman gonna get out there no matter how much holy geez Robin says. Well, you know your life is like that. If you really get rooted in Jesus, you will understand that, yeah, you're getting on my nerves in the next cubicle. Yeah, you're getting on my nerves in the next office. Yeah, you lying on me, but I'm going to win. Once you know that, you know you two got their own station. You know you got your own station of life. It's your show. You the star. If you're rooted in Jesus, you win every episode. Eventually. Sometimes your stuff just to be continued, but you're going to win. Let me get out of here. I'm trying. Reverend. Lastly, Acts 4, 32 through 37. All the believers, Acts 4, 32 through 37, all believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostle continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that were there, no needy person was among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it in the apostle at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. When we stand firm for God and pray to him, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to stand together and let our light shine. God builds his church through people who stand firm on the solid foundation of Christ, who pray. Stop letting people make you feel bad when you speak against sin. That don't mean I hate you because I speak against your sin. I done got up and spoke against some sins I do. I don't hate myself. Can you keep it 100? None of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. And when we talk about sin, stop trying to make it seem like the church hates you. No, I just got to stand on truth. I can't, this is just, we are living in the times of John and Peter right now because the world, the court systems want to tell the church what the church can and cannot say, yet you want to have the separation of church and state. Now, don't you come knocking on my door and think I won't knock on yours, because first of all, you need to understand the reason why the world is so bold is because we're not playing offense like we're supposed to. The Bible says we're supposed to be kicking in the gates of hell. You're supposed to be kicking in the gates of the school system, kicking in the gates of the police force, kicking in the gates of the political system. You're supposed to be taking territory from the devil, not the other way around. I'm tired of the church getting punked out by the world. You, as long as you standing for Jesus Christ, anytime you doing what you're supposed to do and opposition comes against you and try to make you sit down, you tell them what I said. Stand down for what? I got the power of Jesus Christ in me. He who began a good work in me shall. It's vitally important to me that you understand you will face opposition in life as you surrender your life to Christ. The enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to do everything possible to oppose you and hinder you from coming to Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to press past any opposition and give your life to Christ. Peter and John left everything to follow Jesus, and once Jesus became their foundation, God used them to do mighty things that have literally impacted millions and millions of people. When you surrender your life to Christ, not only will you he forgive you, but he will also give you a new purpose for living and begin to use your life in to advance his kingdom. After you make the decision to give your life to Christ, stand with both feet firmly planted on Jesus. And as you stand on the solid rock of Christ, be committed to praying and reading God's word, the Bible. As you pray to God and follow his word, he will give you the strength, direction, and peace to make it through any challenge you face. He helped Peter and John, and he will help you. And not only will he help you, but he will shine brightly through your life and use you to impact your family, friends, co-workers, and the world. You're supposed to be salt. Salt changes the flavor of stuff that needs to be changed and preserves the flavor of stuff that needs to be preserved. You powerful. Every day for the rest of your lives, you will face a circumstance, a situation, and you're going to have to choose whether you're going to stand with Jesus or not. Are you going to take that threat head on or not? At work, stand firm in your faith. At school, stand firm in your faith. Around your family, stand firm in your faith. When no one is watching, stand firm in your faith. In public, stand firm in your faith. In the face of opposition, adversity, when all hell is breaking loose, stand firm in your faith. God is faithful and wants to be the light everywhere we go. Remember that when you stand firm in our faith, that when you stand firm in your faith, God's light shines brightly through you. Some of you all are wavering. Some of you all are worried. But I need you to know that God is saying, trust him. Trust him. And surrender your life to him. I keep saying you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But truth be told, if you don't have Christ in your life, he can't. Christ is a gentleman. He's not just going to bang on your door and pop up like some folk might do in your house. He's a gentleman, so only when he's invited. Now, he'll come knock, but he ain't just going to bust his way in. I need you to surrender your life to him and give him your life. I want to give you an opportunity to start a relationship with him. You don't need to have everything figured out. Stop trying to wait for your mama to see you. Stop trying to wait on the next day because tomorrow is not promised. But I want to talk to you right now. When I tell you, I know that I live a victorious life because of God. When God told me I couldn't open my real estate company when I first got here, I didn't. Oh, I was mad. But I didn't. But now he's given me an open the door for me to do it. And now so many things are getting funded. I ain't even got to come out of my own pocket to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you stand firm in him and you are obedient to him, he's obligated to take care of you. Huh? You feel me?
That's right.
So this is what I need you to do. If you want to walk in the victory I'm talking about, I need you to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus right now?